Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Bob Brill. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, I'll let you be Bob Brill, and then the other half of the show, you can be Bobby Bell.
Okay. I was going to say, WTF, man.
It is another Thursday evening. This is LA Talk Radio. And you, of course, will be listening to The Writer's Block. I'm your host, Jim Christina, in the studio with Bobby Brill, or Bobby Bell, Bob Brill, and Russ Evison.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a great guest on the hook for tonight, and she's going to be a lot of fun to talk to. And her books are just phenomenal, so we'll get to her in a little bit. And hey, Russ.
How are you, sir?
It's always good to see you sitting there.
It's always good to be seen. Thank you.
I'm telling you. You hockey fool, you.
I am.
I know. All right. Where was the last vacation you took? You went up to...
I went up to Bodie.
Yeah, Bodie. Yeah.
Yeah, Bodie, California. If you've never heard of it, it's an old abandoned mining town
right. That
actually had people living there until about 1932. And at one time, they had over 10,000 people living in this town. I think in 32 is when there was a big fire and it took out like about 80% of the town.
Yeah.
But what an amazing experience. The place is awesome.
Probably why they all left.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Seriously. But what a great place. We took pictures of these old buildings.
Yeah.
And then at night, it's right near Mono Lake.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so took some pictures of the Milky Way at night over Mono Lake, and that was pretty incredible. So it was a good getaway.
Yeah, I told you we did the three-day ride from Lone Pine. No, not Lone Pine. We were up in Bishop to Bodie for meal days.
Oh, that'd be fun.
On horseback. Oh, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was, you know, it was like not even a year after I did, you know, across Death Valley in 7 days, 6 days.
Oh, jeez.
My poor Arab hated me, but that's okay. Well, you know what?
What?
Creative Edge is a publicity company, and when Creative Edge Publicity was founded in 2016, they immediately showed they weren't the same as other publicity firms. They work closely with their individual clients' needs and goals and push harder to get them noticed. I believe that. Creative Edge believes that communication is an important part of the partnership and that model is how they have built their success. They collaborate and work with local, national, and international media outlets and organizations to meet clients' goals. Of course, we are one of those organizations they work with to meet their clients' goals. Creative Edge is your brand and your future, and Mickey Mickelson is the publicist, and he actually is my publicist as well. And he's a great guy, and if you are an author looking for a publicist, you could do a lot worse, so go look at Creative Edge. They are phenomenal. Mickey's a good guy. The Out West Shop is your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and the Western lifestyle. You shop for unique and distinctive apparel, fashion accessories, home decor, and general merchandise. National brands include Rock Mountain Ranchwear, Scully Leather Company, and American West Handbags, just to name a few. You can shop online at www.outwestshop.com or www.scv.com or outwest.com. Or you can give them a call if you want to talk to a live person at 877-340-9378. If you enter your code WB100, you'll receive $10 off of your order. If you call that phone number, you will talk to the real-life Bobby Jean Bell, and she sounds nothing like Russ Evison.
Thank God.
Ugh. And you know, Russ, I keep telling you this. I keep telling you week after week after week, and you don't listen.
Uh-oh.
You got to finish the book before we publish it.
Yes, indeed.
So you've typed your final period. You've stacked your last chapter. You sit back in your chair, and you say to yourself,
now what the hell do I do?
I'm done. Nah. Thank you for calling. No, not even close. Sure, you finished your manuscript, but it takes a whole lot more to work to complete a book. And you know what it takes? It takes editing. and rewriting and more editing and more rewriting and formatting, proofreading, more rewriting. And then if you're lucky, you can build a cover and you can get it published and printed and have something on your table you can show your friends because you probably will never sell one. It takes shameless self-promotion to sell your books. Well, why not let the folks at Black Dog Publishing and Tuscany Bay Books do all that for you? For a very small investment, and I mean very small investment, we can do all of the above for you, get you the finished printed book you dreamt about when you first started typing, and help you get some dollars in your pockets. We're here for new writers that don't have the foggiest idea what they're doing. We've learned it, and we've stumbled through it, and struggled through it, and stumbled through it, and we can share and help you get a book of which you can be proud. So give us a call, 805-795-3165, or you can email me, jchristina@tuscanybaybooks.com, or R. Paolinelli, that's R-P-A-O-L-I-N-E-L-L-I, at TuscanyBayBooks.com. Just send us a manuscript if that's all you want to do, and let us look at it and see if we can navigate the rest. That's Black Dog Publishing and Tuscany Bay Books. There you have it. And
well, did you wear out your mouth now?
I did. Jeez. I mean, yeah, and, you know, we picked up some new clients this week, and we're pretty excited about that. And actually, one of them was a guest on the show a couple weeks ago. So our author this evening is your typical girl. She loves the sunset, loves long walks on the beach. I hate that. world travels, and when not playing the corporate part, she can be found sipping wine and spending all her hard-earned money on shoes.
Yes, and I just want to meet a really honest guy.
I know, huh? I just love long walks on the beach. Among her friends and family, Miranda O is known to be the storyteller of the group, always recapping crazy life stories and situations. Her personal experiences, emotions, and fantasies are the inspiration for most of her books, so there's very little bit of her in every story, or there is a little bit of her in every story. Remember, no matter what, Chin Up, Tits Out is the first of many novels you'll be seeing from Miranda O. Well, Miranda's got another one, and it's of When All Else Fails, Chin Up, Tits Out. That's the one. That's the big one. That's the one we wrote.
Yeah,
read. So, without anything further, please welcome to the Writer's Block. I don't even know where we are. Miranda O.
Hey, hey, hey.
Wait a minute. You got to wait for the clap to finish. Yeah.
Hey, Miranda, welcome.
Hey, Miranda, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here this evening.
Well, that's only because of the wine.
Know us.
I know, huh? You don't know us, and you've been drinking wine.
Yeah.
Hey.
No judgment here on either of
us. Absolutely no. So your books are semi-autobiographical, quasi.
Semi, yes.
You went through a lot of what your books are about. Would you care to kind of give us a brief synopsis of both the books, because the first one is very short. It's right. kind of like a setup for the big one, which comes next.
Yes, for sure. And then that sets precedent for the third that will come. But yeah, let's give a little bit of a recap about Chin Up, Tits Out and how it came to be and what the books are about.
Okay.
And essentially when we talk about that, we talk about, hey, what happened in Miranda's life that was absolutely so interesting that I felt necessary to share it with the world. it wasn't quite that much as that approach. It was me going, tripping through life, continuously hitting roadblocks and falling over my feet and landing face first most of the time, and then getting up, dusting myself off and moving on. And just, you'd look back and you'd like, you did that happen? And I would ask myself that in the mirror. And then other people started asking me that when I told them the story. And I was like, all right, this is something that I think is share-worthy. So, typical, you know, young girl getting out of high school, is getting ready to go to college, has kind of her 5-year and 10-year life mapped out, right? What high school chick that gets into college right out of school doesn't kind of have that plan put in place, and then she meets a boy with an accent. I mean, who doesn't go weak at the knees when it comes to a cute beach boy and an accent?
Well, I'm doing it with your accent.
Yeah, you've thrilled, right? Russ now.
Yes.
Oh, look at that. See, it's an accent, and it's from wherever it is, right? And
out and about.
So anyways,
out
and about, yeah. Main character, the main character and myself fell in love with a man from the other side of the world, and it was going to be a happily ever after thing, but it wasn't. Much like life isn't happily ever after, it's about the journey. It's not about the destination and what happens after you happily ever after, right? So it turned into a 4-year long immigration battle between Canada and South Africa. And if anybody knows a little bit about South Africa, there was remnants of the apartheid and racism and segregation and we had a lot of difficulties running and going through this immigration process. And when we finally did, that was the cherry on top of a cake, right? We were married, we were young, we were in love, and we finally did this big triumph of something big. Like, he immigrated, right? And he landed in Canada, and we were, again, waiting this happily ever after. And I think we got it for a few months. And then all of a sudden he was diagnosed with the big old C word, and cancer came flying into our lives immediately, essentially. And then everything that could go wrong went wrong. And if anybody knows anything about cancer, which, let's be honest, it's touched us all some way, shape, or form, it's kind of, you, again, trip face over feet, continuously just pressing forward and just moving forward through your life and trying to wake up and make the best decisions. And then you look back and you're like, I cannot believe that all of this stuff has happened. And how do you keep, one, how do you keep it all together? And two, when it's absolutely ridiculous, how do you not burst into one of those crazy laugh, crying moments, which happened a lot? And through the journey of me telling my story, I realized that I wasn't the only one that was going through stuff that made me go into these hysterical, laughing, crying, ugly, you know, snot nose bubbles. It was ludicrous. It's so funny that it's bad, and you start to connect. You start to resonate, and you start to meet these new people, and these new people come out of the woodworks, and you're connecting with them, and you may not ever cross paths any other way, but you have the same feeling because of something traumatic that happened, and you just simply share your story. And that has led into the first book, essentially, which has turned into now a trilogy, because it was just too much of a story to condense down to one book. And it turned into this motto and this lifestyle and this mantra that I not only try to live my life and lead my life that way, but I want my readers and the people in my life to lead this chin up, tits out life, this motto, this mantra, because it makes a difference. Because really, remembering that no matter what happens, if you chin up and tits out, you're going to feel better. It's a power pose. It's scientifically going to release all the endorphins and all the happy, you know, juices inside of you, and it's going to make you feel and look more confident. It may not be an instant, but if you continue to do it, it will have positive effects on you. And when all else fails, second title of the book, remember to chin up, tits out. Everything is temporary.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
And the bad is all temporary. So chin up, tits out, move forward, and tomorrow the sun's going to come up, whether you're ready for it to or not. And you might as well sip some wine and laugh hysterically at weird things, because you live once and you might as well laugh as much as you can.
What a great attitude. I love it.
Totally.
Didn't your mom give you that phrase originally?
Yes.
Wait, go ahead, take another sip of wine.
Did.
Yeah, go ahead, hit the wine again.
I heard that.
Oh, shush, it's water.
Yeah, I'm drinking water too, Miranda. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, my mother would be so proud right now. yes, she did. It started off as a younger you know, I'm nervous to go do this. I don't want to go do that. She would tell me to, you know, stand with my shoulders back and my chin up or my chest out, you know, to be confident. You don't have to be confident. Just look confident. Like that fake it till you make it. It's just
right,
a different line, right?
Absolutely,
different vibe.
Absolutely.
And, right. And then it just kind of evolved into, you know, I think I was like a teenager and full of attitude and like looking for like a bucking for a compliment. Like I knew I looked good, but I wanted my mom to tell me that I looked good. And so I was giving her some like emotional whiny sass and she was just like, ugh, chin up, tits out. You know, you're gorgeous. Go away. Thank you, mommy.
Oh, that's so great, though.
And honestly, I didn't even mean for the books to come out that way, which sounds very weird. But when I wrote the books, I didn't have a title in mind. I didn't have this saying in mind. It was just some of those. It was like an unconscious competence, right? Like it just came naturally that if I felt anxiety or angst or fear or sadness or anything, I hit a roadblock of frustration. It's chin up, tits out, take a deep breath in and out, and then move on. It's okay, whatever it is, you can get through it, right? And when I reread the book, it just kept popping out at me. I guess I continued to write it over and over and over and over and over again. So, yeah, that's how it happened.
Well, as long as that's your mantra, I mean, might as well. You know, it's like, hey, go for it. I mean, I'm looking at Rusty, he's looking at, yeah, but I don't say chin up and tits out.
No. But
it has a masculine ring to it if you want it to.
Well, it can, yeah.
Well, you know, they always, for boys, I mean, it's always been, you know, puff your chest out and stand up straight.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing.
I used to have at my door, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is exactly what it is.
So, you know, in the beginning of the book, it does say it's a work of fiction. But Jim told me he had a conversation with you the other day. And that you said that maybe 80% of this thing is really autobiographical. Is that about right?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I'm a writer, not a mathematician. So I exaggerate a lot. But yes, it definitely follows the timeline and the big major events that happened in my life, simply because I think that they were noteworthy, not because I think I'm noteworthy. I think the situation and how people handled it and how everybody in that moment was doing the best they could and excuse me, but shit was still hitting the fan.
Sure.
Like right. It just, no matter what everybody did and how everybody kept it together and how focused and everything that, like, even the doctors, it just, nothing went right. Like, nothing ever in that decade of time ever went smoothly and right to what we planned. So, I mean, it possibly was doomed from the beginning, but it made a story. And I think that story really captivates me, and it's my life. And I don't necessarily look back on it and think, oh my gosh, that was me. I just think, oh my gosh, that stuff actually happened.
Right.
And that's not the worst that is possible.
Right.
Like, it could have been so much more worse. So it humbles me in a sense where I'm grateful that that was the worst that happened.
Well,
but I share my story and I connect with people, and that's really what the benefit is.
I don't see how it could have gotten much worse, honestly. You went through some horrific times. That is true, but, you know, hey, chin up, tits up.
It didn't even work out with the dog.
I mean, you had a dog, what, 2 weeks and she died?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
And then it was 2 weeks after that that Rian got the notification?
Yep. No, it was the day after. It was the day after.
Oh, the day after.
That was like the longest 30-something hours I've ever had up until that moment.
Apparently.
And then every moment after that was extensively painful. From what I remember, our brains as humans are super powered. Like, it compartmentalized all of that year, and it hit it way deep down into the back of my brain, and to unlock that Pandora's box, hoo-wee. That was it. Brains are very, very interesting, and unlocking that turned into a really good book,
well,
I think, anyway.
It did, and I have to say that there are several places in these books that are laugh-out-loud funny.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I when you went camping with in South Africa and you were complaining bitterly about the monkeys, and you decided that you hated whatever you called the monkeys with blue balls, oh my God. I was laughing out loud at that. And there were several passages in your...
How do you not look at animals? Like, it sounds so weird, but it was just there.
Well, it had to have been baboons, yeah?
The booze, the African sun, the long walks on the beach.
Oh, God, here we go. You ought to be on Match.com.
Oh, you just wait until book three, honey.
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
There's a whole chapter on Match. A through Z.
You know, there's two things that struck me and remained in my mind after reading the book. One was that I think you are so fortunate to have such supportive parents.
Oh, absolutely.
That were there. I mean, you handled it so well on your own, but when you were having a few little breakdowns here and there, you went to your folks and they were just, I remember there was one part where you didn't know what to do and you were crying and your dad was so proud of you with sitting down with them and trying to go through the process of figuring out what to do. And the other thing that stuck out to me is that I read, I get to the last page, I read the last page, I turn to go to the next chapter, and there's no more.
I said,
holy shit, what did she do?
Nothing there, Miranda. In fact, I was going to tell you that, too. There's nothing there. It's a blank page.
Nope. Before I go to that blank page to speak to my parents, I pretty much locked. I think I scored my jackpot at that point, or with my parents in my life for sure. I remember the first time I announced I was going to South Africa. They were like, "Oh, great! And we happened to have like a family gathering within around the same time that I announced that. And my grandma told me, "You're absolutely not going to South Africa. I will chain you up in my basement." I'm like, "Grandma, first of all, you don't have a basement."
Or chains.
Second of all, you know what? I wouldn't put it past her. I wouldn't put it past her. She has Halloween decorations. She's got Christmas decorations. I wouldn't put it past her that she has some sort of something that she could do something with.
Well, there's probably a couple dead kids in her basement chained to the wall. So,
twist ties, you know, whatever she can find, I'm sure. Feather boas, maybe. And I was like, "You're not going to chain me to anything. Like, I'm going whether you like it or not." And she's like, "Then I have nothing more to say to you." I was like, "All right, Grandma." Then when I showed her all the pictures when I came back, she was happy. And then when I told her that I was going back a second time, she just rolled her eyes and she shook her head. She's like, "I'm not going to stop you." I'm like, "No, you're not going to stop me. So you might as well just love me and hug me just in case my plane crashes." So
when did you decide to sit down and write these stories? I kind of have almost a sneaky suspicion that you sat down and decided to tell these stories when you had about the 427th person ask you what happened. And what better way to tell them than just hand them a book and say, "Read."
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of like it's a good dating tool. You want to know what's about me? Buy these two books. I'll find them for you, and then prove to me you've read them, and I'll think about a second date.
There you go.
Kidding. Hey, but I should.
And there's 212 guys out there that have never had a second date, but she sold 212 books.
Yeah, exactly. Now we got one for free, hey.
You know what? When I made that decision, I did a transition, a career transition, actually, from car industry to corporate. And corporate gave me something called life balance, something that I was able to work at work and then go home and shut work off and focus on other things in my life. And then when I thought that I kind of had balance at my home life at that point, I started realizing that I had a lot of home life, like from 5 o'clock in the evening till 8 o'clock the next morning. Like, that's a lot of time coming from the car industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I think I'm going to do this. And I reached out to a friend of mine who is my publisher, and we talked about it, and he was like, this is going to be a wild ride. And we fist bumped and cheers. And about three months later, we had our first book.
Really? First book. Just
wow.
3 months.
3 months.
3 months. Yeah. It was the fastest thing. I had so much to say, but I didn't know how to say it.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of verbally barfed it all out. And then my publisher really helped me.
You know what? I'm absolutely certain you are endearing yourself to our listeners right now, because half of them are probably barfing too.
Yeah,
they're about into their second or third scotches, and you're in your wine, and you know, Russ and I are sitting here sober.
You know what? It's Thirsty Thursday, I guess, or Happy Thursday, Happy Hour Thursday, whatever you want to call it. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, it is. It's always 5 o'clock someplace. You know, clink clink. Here go the glasses.
Yeah.
So let me take you off this for just a minute. I need to do a commercial, and we'll be back to you in just a couple seconds, okay?
All right, perfect.
Okay, don't go away.
Will not.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
It's your commercial. Shut up.
Oh, okay.
You're leaving on vacation. Tickets
Bye.
Have been purchased. Hotel reservations are confirmed. I'm shutting you off. Mail delivery has been suspended. And what about the dog? All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepovers. It's the place your dog wants to be when they can't be with you. All Dogs Rule provides your best four-legged friend a place to run and play outside amongst orange trees and grass in a country setting. Your dog gets to be, well, your dog gets to be a dog. All Dogs Rule offer additional services, including individualized playtime, personal walks, swimming sessions in the creek, and training. Visit All Dogs Rule on the web at alldogsrule.com or give them a call, 805-524-1100. When your pup returns home, that smile on his face will leave you wondering whose vacation was better, yours or the dog's. And we all know that the dog's was, so there you go. That's 805-524-1100, All Dogs Rule, and that's All Dogs Rule on the web. And I'm sure Mr. Russ Evanson, who is sitting right here, would love to have that phone call. So give him a call, 805-524-1100. And it is now 7:28, and we are in Studio 2, and it's LA Talk Radio, and this is the Writer's Block, and we have on the phone a wonderful, wonderful writer, Miranda Oh. And if you want to call and talk to Miranda, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929, and that number again is 818-602-4929, and I'll try real hard not to hang up on you.
Yep. Nice job, Jim.
I can't. I did, for some reason, I always hit the wrong button. And Ron comes running in there, and he goes, ah. Anyway, Miranda, you are back with us. Thank you for waiting.
Hello.
Hey, Russ, you're supposed to say hello to Bella, incidentally.
Hello, Bella.
She's listening.
Yes.
Yeah, that's your dog.
Yeah.
Russ trained my dog. He's a dog. Actually, Russ is a dog trainer.
Oh, man, I love dogs.
Me too. And Russ, actually, Bella went through all major training stations with Russ. She went through. She's even got a canine good citizenship award.
Yeah.
And she passed that, which amazed me. And Russ is just a terrific trainer. But you know what?
He's
not a writer, but he also is a great interviewer. So that's why Russ is sitting in this chair tonight. So
nice.
There you go. Okay, Miranda. Oh, we have wait a minute. We have somebody calling from Canada.
Of course.
So hang tough. Here you come. Hi, you're on the air, and who are we speaking to?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Who am we talking to?
My name is Scott.
Okay, Scott, say hello to Miranda.
Hello, Miranda. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What? And did you want to ask Miranda a question?
Yeah, I was reading the books, and a lot of people have said this that have read the books that I've talked to, that we finished the second book and we seem very mad.
Yeah. So did we.
Yeah. So we are anxiously waiting for the third one coming out. And it sounds like your parents and brother are very patient people. Is that true?
Well, my parents and my brother are probably the three most patient people in my life. And yes, book three is going to come out early next year.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So you're very comfortable with basically the world knowing your story, your personal story.
Yes, I am. I am comfortable with it because I think everybody's got a story, and I get to connect with all corners of the world if I do this, or when I do this, every time I do this. And it makes me feel proud, even though I might have not made all the right choices. But I'm not perfect, but I'm still standing, and I'm still alive, and I still always try to love and always try to be kind.
There you go.
Awesome. Sounds great.
Well, Scott, I have to ask you a question.
Sure.
Were you one of the ones that went on the first date and had to buy the books?
No, actually, one of my my business customers was talking about this book, and the title got me interested, and that's why I got it, was basically because of the title.
Yeah, but it's a really good story, isn't it?
It is a pretty good story. It's you know, everybody has life challenges, and probably who convinced you, Miranda, to put pen to paper on this?
You know, I would say that other than myself telling myself that this was going to be a crazy story, my parents definitely encouraged me throughout the entire journey, as they knew that it would help me heal through everything that you know, the journey that I went through and the journey that we went through as a family. It was a way of, I guess, closing the gap and closing the chapter and definitely getting some closure in as a family. I think that the writing the book has not only helped me progress through my personal life and my professional life as well, but it's definitely helped our family as a little foursome unit to really reconnect after something that was traumatic and learn how to deal with the crazy that life comes with. And we've come out a stronger unit. We've always been a strong unit, but now we're kind of unbreakable, and I'm proud of that.
That's awesome. Looking forward to the movie.
There you go.
Fingers, toes, arms and legs and eyes crossed every single day.
There you go.
Tits crossed.
There you go. Chin up, tits crossed.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck.
Thanks for the call,
thank
Scott.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye. Well, there you go, Miranda. You got a fan.
I got a fan.
And not one that you forced to buy the books either. Yeah. There you go.
No, I did not. Colleagues, you know, I get very random messages from people all over. Like, I have a fan. He's an 85-year-old man that lives in a church basement, and he just loves my books. And the only reason we connected was because I watched him walk with a walking stick, and I complimented it. And he said that my books were something that gave him some life.
Like, wow.
Oh, how nice.
That is very nice. That is very nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here's a question for you. When do you find time to write? When do you do your writing?
I would say the weekends. I tend to write. If I can write in the evenings, mm-hmm. I do. But sometimes my days are just too busy and I just need to decompress versus mm-hmm. exude a lot of mental energy. I have to exude a lot of mental energy in it. And I'm not going to lie, I was telling Jim this, I drink alcoholic beverages when I write. So it's kind of like one of those things where I got to find a place and I got to stay put.
Yep.
For, the day.
That was our guest last week said that.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't mind hunkering down for 5, 6, 7 hours on a Saturday or a Sunday and go through a bottle of wine and then feel crappy the next day. But, I'm pumping out a chapter, two chapters. Like, I'm able to pump out quite a bit of writing then. I'm more inclined to edit during the weekdays because my brain is more on corporate and proper and punctuation and grammar, where on the weekends I'm like, woohoo!
Well, that's what she said last week. Write drunk, edit sober.
Yeah, I like that.
Yep.
Now I have a good reason to work on that book.
Yeah, you do. We're not much of a drinker.
There you
anyway.
Go. There
no,
you
I
go.
Could.
I
anymore.
Could learn.
We're all old now, and it's just like just can't drink that much anymore. But Miranda's still young.
There's a fine line, though, right? Like you can't get too. You can't drink too much. You just gotta. You gotta teeter on that line of just feeling the heat inside, just to get you all warmed up and snuggly, and then all of a sudden it's just like. Da, 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 and then fingers are going so fast that your brain can't keep up with it. And then, bam, you're tired and ready for bed.
Yeah, but I write, like, action scenes and people getting killed, and I can't do that drunk.
No, but you do kill people really well.
I do. I'm a good killer, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miranda, let me ask you, what do you do when, say, you're in the middle of your workday during the week,
yep.
and suddenly you are struck with this great idea that you need to put into the book? What's your process then? Because obviously you can't go and hibernate for 2 hours and drink some wine and write.
Right.
Oh, I'm not supposed to do that. Just kidding.
Jerry's sitting at home really proud of you right now.
Oh, yeah. And Mickey is like, oh, my gosh.
Miranda, she didn't really say that.
No, honestly, what I do is I have a little note keeper in my phone, and I press the record button and I verbalize it because I can't necessarily, it's more so just an idea where I verbalize it out. If I don't have that, I read it on a sticky note. I have a stack of sticky notes that sit on my computer desk that just kind of pile up. And then when I know that I'm going to write, I bring them home and I have this little pink, it's from Chapters, those pink notebooks that are like come in every different size and design and say something inspirational. That's my notes for my book, so that they just go into there and get crossed out when I write them.
Now, when you chose to write the first book, was that your first book that you've written? Now that you've done two books, is it what you thought it would be, being a writer?
That's a good question.
Honestly, I don't even know what I thought to be. I don't know. I just had this itch to get this story out, and I wanted it out. I didn't really think of the end game. And then when I launched the first book, it was like, yay, hooray. All of, my family was there. My closest friends were there. So it was a small, compact group of really loyal, solid pillars, my village. And I was really grateful for that. And that's kind of where I thought I would last and get to. And then book two came out, and you saw the size difference between book one and book two.
Sure.
My launch was that big as well. It tripled in size.
Huh.
And there was a bunch of people that were there that weren't my pillars, that weren't my village, that I didn't even know. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you're here for me? Like, me? So that piece, like getting the opportunity to connect with absolute strangers and have them tell me that my words changed their lives or touched them or whatever the positive impact that I made on their life for that exact moment that they read my story was so far beyond what I ever imagined being an author was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to tell my story to get it off of my chest but to impact people's lives positively, to encourage them to lead a more positive mentally balanced life. And I can do that through my story. Man, that was beyond any expectation that I ever set for myself.
Yeah, that's
which
fun,
now
isn't
opened
it?
Up a whole new doors of like, oh my gosh, well, look at what I can do.
Yeah, that's fun when you get those emails saying, God, I really enjoyed your book, or they leave a review. And, you know, I don't live off the reviews, as I'm sure you don't, but they're nice to see, you know, except the one stars. You get rid of those. But I mean,
you sent Guido and Vinny after those people.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it is. It's you put a lot of time and effort into writing this thing, and then having it edited and having it, you know, everything. And you kind of like people to read it, and I'm sure you feel the same way as most writers do, that when you see it come out in a cover and it's on the shelf, it gives you a sense of pride.
Oh, a huge sense of pride. I like that piece is. It's a big piece.
Mm-hmm.
And the one stars, I just convince myself that they're deflections on their own selves, right?
Well,
like,
you know,
you don't like an autobiography. Like, I've only gotten a couple bad reviews, I guess, and that is what it is. But they knock on Hadley because of all the wrong choices she made.
You're
like, all right, that's cool.
Nobody
makes perfect choices all the time.
You may want to tell our listeners who Hadley is, because she is the protagonist of your book.
Yeah, she is.
Well, you know something, too. I've had this happen where there's certain books that I've had in my life that I read I read it the first time maybe 15 years ago. And then, 5 years later, I read it again. And it was completely different to me. Mm-hmm. And then you read it another 10 years later, and again, it's different. Because I think everybody is at a place in their life where they can only take in certain things out of that message that you offer in your book. And some of those people who write the one stars were just in a different place, that they weren't able to maybe absorb or take in the parts of your book that really had meaning to you. And so they only saw, oh, this girl Hadley is a real idiot because she didn't make any good decisions.
Yeah.
And that might be a reflection in some ways of where they are in their own lives as they read it. So,
well, I think
100%.
I think a lot of it has to do also with, I mean, not everybody is going to like everything they read. And that's a fact of life. You know, the mere fact you spend $14.95 or $15 on a book, you know, you kind of hate to leave it sit there and grow hair. Yeah. So you're either going to go through it or try to read it at least.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've stopped reading a lot of books because they just didn't grab me.
Right.
You know, and doing this show, we have to read a book a week. Well, in your case, Miranda, I read two books in a week, but yours went fast because the story was just gripping. But you know, I don't always like what I read, but I don't go for whether I like the book or not. I go for how well it's written or how the storytelling is done. And that's what the focus of the show is.
Yeah. And by the way, talking about how the book's written, one thing I really enjoyed in your book, and I could also see in a film being the same way if it was made into a film, is that you tell the stories, you have the dialogue, and then there's these little blurbs that are italicized that are the thoughts going through your head.
Right.
And you punctuate a lot of the different scenes with that.
Like the monkey with the blue balls.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But no, I thought that was really enjoyable, and it helped really connect me with the character.
Well, yeah, it does connect you with Hadley. Mm-hmm. It totally, totally does. So
Right.
So
it totally depicts the inner battle that women have with themselves constantly, right? That we're constantly told or expected to do a certain thing or to say a certain way or to look a certain way, right? Right. We're there's expectations. So we never say fully what that inner voice is saying. So it gives women readers an opportunity to say, oh, thank God, I'm not the only one who has a crazy voice in their head telling them.
Oh no, all the women have crazy voices.
Yeah, most guys I know have noises in their head.
Yeah,
exactly. And then it gives the men a picture, a little understanding, going, here, guys, here's a funny in-depth picture of how crazy complex female minds are. It's twisted. Can you just throw us a bone and like play along a little bit?
Well, I have to tell you, you never, ever, ever want to read one of my thought bubbles, ever. Hey, look, the name of the...
And I publish mine.
There you go. The name of this show is The Writer's Block. And now I'm going to ask you the question. Did you get writer's block when you were writing either one of these books or your third book that you have now finished? And if so, what did you do to get out of it?
I would say first book, not so much, because that was a quick process. Second book was more so, it wasn't writer's block versus...
Falling over drunk?
Drunk block. But it was more so just emotionally draining, right? Like I didn't want to write about cancer anymore or addiction or mental illness or the problems that were going on in my marriage or the breakdown in my family or whatever it was just too heavy to write at some point. Mm-hmm. My third book, because it's the end, I really started to have to pay attention to making sure I close all my stories properly, and closing, you know, or properly connecting characters from other books. So there's a lot more thought process in this book now versus the other two, because I'm trying to connect and wrap everything up. And it's also the piece that's closest to my present. Right when I started writing in 2015, I think, I was writing about 2007, 8, 9, and 10. And then 2016, I was writing 2010, 11, 12.
Right.
And then now I'm writing 2013 to present. So this is the closest to my present. So I'm trying to write and really understand what my lessons were during the last and the journey that I kind of had I had to take after, you know, that last page ended. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes there's some self-reflection that comes into here. So this third book has taken me the longest to write. I've taken some time in the summer to not really pay attention, to actually just go outside and enjoy life. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that in the sun the last 2 years because I figured cancer was just going to, you know, the sun was going to give me cancer and the cancer is going to, you know, ultimately be my end. So I was so white, I glue in the dark for the last 4 years.
Ah.
So this year I've gone through about 5 bottles of sunscreen and I'm really nice and tanned and I have freckles.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
Well, good for you. Well, you know what? We're running out of time. So why don't you let our audience know where they can contact you and where they can find you on the web and email. And
most importantly, get a date and buy a book.
Get a date and buy a book.
You know, one or the other, or both. you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at @omirandao. You can hashtag chin up, tits out. You can also find me as well. And if you want to check out my books, they are on anyamazon.com. So just type in chin up, tits out in Amazon and my books will pop up. So will my face.
Outstanding. And online booksellers, you available on most of those as well?
I'm online on Amazon. I'm not on any else that I'm on at the moment. Okay. I know I'm on Amazon for sure.
Available in book form and ebook?
Yes.
Okay.
Paperback and ebook.
Perfect.
And Kindle.
Miranda, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this evening.
Thank you, Russ and Jim, for your time and the wonderful chat that we just had.
Oh, it was fun.
And I'm so glad I had a chance to do it because I had this image of you. And like I said in the beginning, your voice is exactly what I expected it to be, which was wonderful.
You made his evening.
Yeah.
Oh, if you could see my face, my smile's so big, my cheeks hurt.
Oh, well,
drink some wine.
Text us a picture of it right now. Do a selfie right now and send it.
No. This face is not public appropriate.
Well, Miranda, thanks for joining us, and have yourself a fun evening, and stay in touch with us, if you would, please.
I would totally. Thank you guys so much. The pleasure was mine. I totally appreciate this opportunity, and have a wonderful rest of your week.
All good. You take care, and we'll talk soon, and let us know when the new book's out.
Oh, totally. You'll be hearing from me, guys.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Miranda, oh, what a great lady.
Oh, what a delight.
I mean, just full of, just.
She's so fun.
Full of life.
Yeah.
Damn.
And really, I think she is living proof to her mantra of, you know, chin up, tits out. She's been through hell.
Absolutely.
Several times.
And looking at her picture, she's a lovely young woman as well. So good for her. Good for her. Good for you. What's her name? Miranda.
Miranda.
Next week, we have an old friend coming in with us. Or actually, she'll be on the phone. She's a writer from Memphis, Tennessee. She lives in L.A. She's got German Shepherds and a husband and writes some pretty good books. Her name is Claire Fullerton. She'll be here with us. She's actually one of our favorites. So she's returning with a halo on her head because we just all love Claire. And Bobby Jean will be here with us next week. Bob is off next week, so it'll just be me and Bobby Jean and Claire Fullerton. So without anything further to say, we've killed another Thursday night. And for Russ and myself and for the writer's block in general, we say goodnight and we are out of here.